Let's think about the Olympics. I like the Olympics. I like the Winter Olympics. Each Olympic that comes around, I think that's my favorite Olympics, Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics. And I like the Winter Olympics, being a Colorado guy and a skier and all that stuff. You know, I love Winter Olympics. I love the feel of Winter Olympics. You know, everything about it is something that just brings me a lot of joy. And I love the competition, of course. I know a lot of you do as well. Summer Olympics come around, and I start to think, you know, I really like being an old track guy, and I mean a really old track guy. I used to really enjoy track and the competition of track, and no, I was not really good, but I used to enjoy that. And come summertime, you know, I love to see those hybrid horses out there, you know, running those races, those people that can really, really run, and the competition that's involved. I love all this, but you know, we are all involved in our own way in the Olympics. We're all involved in a sense in our athleticism. What I'm talking about is not, it doesn't have anything to do with being a physical athlete. I used to think I was a physical athlete, but the more I think about it, the more I realize I wasn't. I just thought that I was. But the truth is, we're all spiritual athletes. And the truth is, we all have some real spiritual athletes, great spiritual athletes among us. Let's see, who would some of those athletes be? Let me see, they don't run very fast anymore. They can't hit a baseball maybe anymore, you know. As I look over here and I see the Nolte's, you know, and, you know, Bob that comes among us. I see some others that have some white hair. I have to bleach mine this color to get it this way, but, you know, I see some with white hair out there, and you're elderly, and you've been spiritual athletes for a long, long time, and you've gained strength. And you become strong. And all the other athletes, younger athletes, don't even know how athletic you are and how able you are because they're stuck in their own world, you know. We actually have some very able spiritual athletes among us. And we can all become very able. And I'd like for us to think about a few points that we have to think about if we're going to be that spiritual athlete, if we're going to engage in this spiritual competition, if you will, as we are serving God. You know, one of the things that we have to have in our service for our God is discipline. One thing that an athlete must have is discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:24, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Temperate, moderated, controlled. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. It was literally made out of organic material. It was going to disappear. It was not a gold medal. But in the Olympics back in the time of Greece, it was a perishable crown. And Paul is no doubt making reference to the Grecian games back at this time. He says, but we are doing these things for an imperishable crown, for a crown that will never be destroyed. It's going to last forever. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. There's no futility and no vanity in what I'm doing. There's substance in what I'm doing, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest, Paul himself says, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, Paul knew he himself could be lost if he wasn't going to practice spirituality, practice his Christianity and obedience to God. But here Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. How important is that for an athlete? You know, when you have these top-notch athletes, and you know, Greece had top-notch athletes as well. You know, we would not take them as a bunch of dummies. These guys took it very, very seriously. You know, these guys practiced a lot of discipline. These guys got up and they did their thing and they got themselves ready for whatever it is that they were doing. They knew they couldn't sleep all day. They knew they were not going to laze their way by their, you know, poundage into whatever that they were going to do as far as running or something like that was concerned. They had to use discipline. They had to be disciplined. Somewhere along the line, they had to say no to themselves. And they had to tell themselves what to do. And that's just a foundational part of our Christianity, is it not? we have to tell ourselves what we're going to do, and we have to tell ourselves, no, this isn't going to happen. We have to discipline ourselves to make something happen in our lives. Correct? Okay, we realize that anybody who just says, you know, I don't feel like getting up this morning. I think I'll just sleep and sleep and think I'll just eat the way that I want to. And I don't feel like telling myself no today. And I don't feel like making it happen today. Where does that person go in life in general? What kind of victories are in front of that person? That's not a victorious life. It's a life of failure, isn't it? Somewhere along the line in our spirituality, we have to say to ourselves, you know, it's time I say no to myself. It's time I get serious about what I'm trying to accomplish here. It's time that I say, I have to do something and say, yes, you are going to get motivated. You are going to act. Okay? Discipline works both ways, saying yes to yourself to force yourself to be motivated and saying no to yourself, what you cannot have in self-denial. But both of those things are so important. We come to our Bible study, our Bible reading. Let me encourage you again. Take one of those papers in the back and read through the scriptures this year. Read through, you know, get your marker out, make your notes and passages that mean so much to you. But you know, every week there's something that you have to get your Bible readings in. What is that? It's discipline, isn't it? You have to discipline yourself. When am I going to do it? I just didn't have time. Get up running. Run all day. Run till bedtime. I just didn't have time. You know what? For the most important things, we have to have that discipline to say, I'm going to make it happen. I have to make it happen because it is the most important thing. And we have spiritual athletes today, successful spiritual athletes today that are successful and are where they are now because they have been disciplined. And their approach in the Word of God and many other things in Christianity to get where they are. So think about this. If you're not telling yourself no in self-denial, or if you're not making yourself act when you don't feel like acting, it's time you have to do that because you're not going anywhere in your spirituality. If you've been doing that for 20 or 30 years, do you want to do that for another 20 or 30 years? You don't want to do that, do you? This is the beginning. It's in our discipline. Secondly, you play by the rules. This was true in the Grecian games. There was actually, even if you were a Roman citizen in the Grecian-Roman games, even if you were a citizen, if you were caught cheating, you would be whipped or beaten with a stick. You weren't going to cheat, you know. Do we take it seriously today? They took it seriously also. And one thing that we as Christians have to do is to make sure that we are playing by the rules, because there is no victory if we don't play by the rules. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. There you go. How are you running? Are you running to obtain? Or are you just running in some generic spiritual wandering, you know, way? We'll see where the mind goes here in just a moment, but run in such a way that you may obtain it. And Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:5, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. He was telling Timothy that on purpose. And he was telling him that to make Timothy realize Timothy had to abide by the things of God. Everyone has to abide by the things of God. The way that you win the reward is by playing by the rules. And that simply means that we as Christians have to take very seriously what God says. We don't get to be religious. We don't get to be Jesus is one of my favorite people sort of people. If we're going to be Christians, what was that Jesus said in Luke 6:46? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do, what's the rest of that? Do not the things that I say. That's pretty powerful, wasn't it? We as Christians, you know, we have to take this seriously. If we're running the race for God, if we really have an objective we're trying to reach, then we have to play by the rules. We have to do the things of God. We have to be people who take very seriously things that glorify God, the works of God, the works of faith that we do, the things that God wants us to do as the light of the world. We have to take all of these things very seriously and make sure these things are in our lives. Playing by the guidelines, playing by the commands that God has given to us, because they're really greater than guidelines, aren't they? They are channels that God has put in front of us, for us to follow and for us to walk within. And if we're going to receive the prize, what he says is you're going to have to run in such a way to get the prize. Otherwise, you can go to the side and get spanked with a stick. And you know what? God has his way to spank with a stick. And he can chastise you in this life if he wants to. But certainly you don't want to be eternally chastised, do you? With life away from God. If we're in a race, if we're in that race serving God, let us walk according to the truths that God has given to us. Thirdly, if we're going to be that spiritual athlete, we have to remove encumbrances and run with endurance. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we have so many others that have been faithful to God. See that idea? We don't stand alone. We're not by ourselves. There have been so many faithful to their God. We're surrounded by this truth. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, the Greeks did a strange thing. They competed naked. They took their clothes off. There could be a variety of reasons for this. That would go into Greek culture explanation. But one of them, which would apply from this verse, is removing all encumbrances. When they got out there ready to run, there were no encumbrances. There was nothing that was going to be an encumbrance. And other nations were refused to participate like the Greeks did in that kind of an Olympic. They refused to run naked. But the Greeks, they weren't afraid to get out there and to run naked. They were laying aside everything. They wanted something. They wanted to win so badly they would lay aside everything. Literally, lay aside everything, all of their clothing, because they wanted to win that race. And obviously we realize that we as Christians, to run the race of God, have got to set aside those things that get in our way. We have to lay aside the sin that ensnares us. We have to lay aside those initial temptations. You know what? That little wink that you give to the woman at the office might seem like just a little wink to you. But you know what? That can be the beginning of great destructive things in your life. And you'd better beware. That sin can ensnare us in so many different ways. And we think the committing of a little sin, well, it's just a little sin. Sometimes we have no idea what the rest of that iceberg is going to be like, what that can do to the heart, how that can lead me in things that are away from God. Let's lay aside every weight. Lay aside that sin. Realize that sin will keep me from running the race of God. Wait a minute, what is it that I want? Do I want to run in the race of God, or do I want to be involved in the things that will keep me from running the race? That's really a question we have to ask ourselves and be very honest with ourselves, because sometimes we want to run the race and have all the fleshly stuff that that we want to enjoy that you can't win a race with. Which one is it? We have to be very honest with ourselves. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, Hebrews 12:1. And the idea is you have to put on a spirit of durability to do something tough. Getting back to what we were saying about discipline. I have to do this thing, and to do this thing, I'm going to have to be a tough guy to do it. I'm going to have to be a tough girl, you know, to really get this thing. It's not going to be easy, or else he wouldn't use the word endurance. Right? In other words, it's going to be tough, Christian. Running that race, you're going to get tired. Your gut's going to hurt. Your lungs are going to burn. You mean you're going to feel like you can't take one more step, and if you take one more step, they're just going to fumble out in front of you and you can't do it? What do? Life is hard. Christianity is hard. You press on and you put on the spirit of enduring because you're in a race and you want to win the race. Anybody can give up. You know what? Any weakling can give up. Many do. Many weaklings can just serve themselves and never put on anything, any kind of discipline for serving God. And they are weaklings, just simply giving in to the ways of the world. But God says, look, if you want to run this race, If you want to be in this and win, then you're going to have to run with an enduring spirit, and that's an endurance that has to be there every day. All of the time. You don't get to stop today, quit the race for a day, and then say, well, I'll pick it up again tomorrow. If you did that, you just lost a big part of the race. You just lost a lot of the growth that and the help that you can get in running in the race. Let us run with endurance, he says. As you run this race, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that have done this. Other people that have been successful, saying it can be done. There it is. It can be done. Lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. If something's in your way from serving your God, get rid of it and do something else. Go another direction and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Also, we as athletes have to wear the right shoes. When I said that the Greeks ran naked, well, that was true in the beginning. They even ran naked with no shoes. But then some from northern colder climates started coming in, and they wore shoes. And after a while, it was clear that the ones that were winning the races were the ones with shoes on. And so pretty soon, the Greeks got to where they would compete with shoes. And that's all they had, but they were wearing their shoes. And we come down, of course, to Christianity, and we realize that there's really only one thing that we wear. And since we're looking at the shoes of the Greeks, we'll just equate it with the shoes. The thing that we have to put on are shoes of faith. And again, the Lord's Supper this morning and also our Bible class, 1 John 5 and verse 4, we have the idea of overcoming the world. That is the word Nikeo, and this is the word Nike. Both of those have to do with Nike. All three of these words have to do with Nike. And we're familiar with that word, Nike. That was a goddess of victory. It was a goddess of victory in different respects. She was also the goddess of the victory in war. She was known as Victoria in Roman theology, mythology. But here's the idea of the victorious nature. Whatever is born of God overcomes. There's the victory that comes our way. And this is the victory that has overcome. If you're born of God, you have victory, and here's our victory, which the born of God will necessarily follow out. And that is our faith. Here's the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. Reminds us of Ephesians 6, doesn't it? Above all, taking the shield of faith. Remember that? How important that is. Remember, we talked this morning about BTC, belief and trust. And where does that belief and trust take you? The whole picture, the big picture of faith is belief and trust that necessarily leads to a commitment. And if you take any part out of that, you no longer have an operation of faith. But when you have all three of these things together, your belief and your trust, I know who my God is. I'm going to serve him. I believe him. I trust him. And I so trust him, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be committed to him because it's the only thing to do in my existence. You know what? That kind of attitude will take you somewhere. It'll take you through Bible learning. It'll take you through spiritual growth. It'll make an effective warrior out of you. It'll make you a battle-ready individual to fight many things in this world. It'll make you a very efficient tool for God. Your faith will. If you want to run the race, then what you have to put on is truly your belief and trust leading to commitment mentality. You have to put on this whole picture. Without it, you just give up. Why run the race at all if I'm not going to use my faith? But in faith, how strong this passage is. In faith, we have the victory. We have the overcoming of the world. It can happen. It can happen to those born of God when they will choose to live by their faith. So we have to pick up our faith. And we also, every athlete has to stay focused on the goal. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. And that's the idea of stretching. You know, just stretching. And, you know, I think if somebody stretching towards the mark, that's the mark that you would strive for as an objective, as he says, goal right there. You think of somebody, you know, reaching in at the end of a running track, you know, the 100-meter dash, and they're almost there, and they're just reaching in, they're just trying to get to that goal and to get first place. There's the idea. I reach forth to those things that are before. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Jesus. And that word press is the idea of scopa, scope. Just like scope, just like a scope on a rifle, to see. It's the idea that you zero in on it, and you look at it, and you observe it, and it's in front of your eyes. That makes a big difference in what you do in your life, right? What you focus on is where you go with your life. Where your focus is where your life follows. I want you, he says, to focus on the goal. I focus. I put my eyes on. I scope out the goal and I keep myself right there. I press toward the goal. And nothing else matters. Everything behind me, it doesn't matter. I'm not about to run a race and then start looking behind me at all the things that I've missed and start to turn and go the other direction. He says, I'm going to keep my eyes exactly in the right direction, exactly on what I want to accomplish, and I'm not going to let anything keep me from reaching that goal. This is one of the most simple points in the world and one of the most effective. When you keep your eyes on something, you accomplish. Many things can get in the way of what you want to accomplish, but when you want to accomplish, your eyes are there, you get through all the muddling, you get through all the junk that comes your way. You know what? You get to the end of the line. How true this is with God. I press on, Paul says, and he says as he's about to die in 2 Timothy 4. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've kept my eyes where they belong. There's a crown of righteousness. I have kept my eyes on that, and there's laid up for me a crown that I know is coming my way. Isn't that how you want to die? Don't you want to be running the race knowing that at the end here, in death and beyond death, you know where you're going. There's a crown of righteousness for you so that you can even smile at death. Nobody wants to die of cancer. Nobody wants to enjoy that proceeding of what death is itself. But on the other side of death is life with God. And that's what it's all about right there. Paul says, I will press on towards that. I will reach forth. And we have to keep that in our scope every day. We have to keep our eyes because the devil wants to get us all confused. He wants us to say, I really want this here and now. Or as Esau said, I want this bowl of soup more than I want my birthright. Satan loves us getting invested in bowls of soup that are right here and right now, instead of thinking about the investments of tomorrow that are what the soul is all about. This is our investment, eternal life. And that's what we have to keep our eyes upon. And then lastly, what does every athlete have to do? And here we have our great spiritual athletes today that are still battling today, are still in the race today, because they have had a spirit that says, I'm going to finish the race. None of these things, Paul said, as he's talking about persecutions that are going to come his way, promises that he's going to be persecuted, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, I don't even count my life dear to myself because I want to finish my race with joy. Ah, there it is. When you start counting your life as bigger and more important than it is, or your self-service as being more important than it should be, your eyes get off of your God. Paul says, I'm not going to count my life as dear to myself because I want to finish my race. And I want to finish my race with joy. And the only way you can do that is to keep your eyes ever on your God. Keep your eyes off yourself. Don't let yourself just to give in to the momentary bowls of soup that are all around you that smell so good and look so delicious. No, instead, you know, I'm not going to count my taste buds as everything. I'm not going to count my life as dear to myself. I want to stay in the race. And I want to finish my race. And I want to finish it with joy. The only way you can do that is by running the race properly. And you know it within. Deep down inside, you know it. Your conscience lines up with what you know about yourself. And everything is good. And you know where you are with your God. And you can finish out the race and you feel good about where you are. Because you know that you have served your God. That's where you are at this particular moment. So what does everyone have to do? What does every athlete have to do to be successful? Well, he has to finish the race. And you can imagine all the athletes, you know, man, this is a hard race. It's just so easy to give up. And many fall along the way. And the scripture speaks of those that fell. Those that preferred the present world over the ways of God. But if we want the objective, if we want eternal life, we have to keep that in front of us. We have to say, I'm going to finish this thing. And you know what? It's well worth it. Because pretty soon, if you chart off your life by 20s, you're 20. You're a young person, right? I've got my whole life in front of me. I'm 20 years old. I was 20 once. Faye, were you 20 once? You know what? I've got my whole life. Pretty soon you chart off 40. Well, now I've got kids. 40 years older, you know, and I found a lot of maturity in life. And then one day you say, ooh, I just checked off my next 20. I don't like that one so well, you know, 60. And then you start thinking, I really see where the next 20 is going, and I don't like that either. It's going to be here. You know what? We're not here very long. Teach me that I am a mere handbreadth. Life is but a vapor. Teach me to use my years that will soon be over and in fact could be over today by slipping on the ice and hitting your head. Teach me that life is short. Teach me my focus. Teach me to keep the finish line ever before me. Help me to finish the race and help me to know that whatever time I've invested to finish this race, it's a short one. It's a little investment. Compared to what's on the other side of that finish line. How about life with God? Watching God work throughout His eternity as you are with Him in His eternity. In the love of God. In the glorious working of God. Oh, yeah, we always come back, Dumbledore. Thank you for that statement. Death is not the end. It is but the next great adventure. And that's what's beyond the finish line. Run the race. My encouragement is for all of us not to give up the race. Don't give it up. Don't be looking at sin. Don't deceive yourself because your sin today might encourage you to give up the race tomorrow. Don't do that. Keep your eyes where they belong. Keep your mind focused on the things of God. Keep looking at the finish line. Keep looking at eternal life, service to your God. Because you know what? One day your life will be over. And one day you will reap something, and it will be what you have sown. So think about these things. Are you even in the race? I'd like to say thank you to our athletes. I appreciate your faith. And thank you to the Nolte's. Thank you to the Munsons. Thank you to the Bakers. Thank you to the Jemisons. They're still young, but, you know, they're a couple years older than me, so I'll put them up, you know. And, you know, thank you to all the others. I look around, and I see the elderly that are still here. Thank you for your faith. Thank you that you have stayed in the race and that you are looking at the finish line and you want to finish your race. Thank you for that. And thank you for being an example. And my hope and my prayer is that 60 years from now, some of the other younger athletes in here that are not as good athletes as you are will remember back and remember old brother so-and-so I remember Sister so-and-so. They were keeping their faith to the end. I now know how hard that really is. But I'm going to keep mine to the end. May you have that influence for the rest of their lives, even after you are gone on to a greater reward. Well, so where are you? Think about your life. Are you in the race? If you're not in the race, you're not going anywhere at all except for where you don't want to go, away from God. You need to be in the race of Jesus Christ. He will bring you into the race through His blood, through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. He will bring you into the race. He will give you eternal life. All you have to do is to come in faith, love Jesus more than yourself, obey your God, and you know what? You'll have eternal life. Why not use this opportunity and obey God? Do that now as together we stand and as we sing.